Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves. You're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit NCL.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry, the Bahamas and USA.
And welcome into the Wednesday edition. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Wednesday morning. Robbie and Rex Road presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. For homes and businesses that want to stand out, not blend in, visit greenventureslandscaping.com. Got a lot going on the program here today. Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com will be with us in the second half of the program today. We will get into the Titans with him, so looking forward to that. Joe Rexroad, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Another big night of hoops. Still got to get into the Olympics, but I did watch the U.S. women dominate the Canadian women in hockey,
yes,
which was a bit of a surprise.
Certainly the dominance of it was. So
yes.
I would imagine they'll probably see each other again.
I think so.
But yeah, that's pretty good stuff from the U.S. women's team yesterday. Ian, how we doing? What's going on?
Good morning, guys. Happy Wednesday. Happy hump day. Doing just fine. A little rainy out there. Watched some hoops last night, a little bit here and there, but doing good, thanks.
Good, good. Vanderbilt basketball gets the win last night, 84-76 against the Auburn Tigers. So, Joe, it's a big win for Vandy. They get to 20-4 on the season overall, and a nice response from them after the loss on Saturday at home against Oklahoma.
Yeah, a very good win. Clearly, me going down to Auburn, it somehow left like a curse there. They lost two games, and all of a sudden their season, I mean, they're still in the tournament, but it's looking a little rough. And Vanderbilt, with their injuries, with those limitations to play the way they did last night, you get some of your role players just going nuts shooting the basketball, along with obviously Tyler doing his thing. Pretty strong win for them, and hanging around in the SEC championship race still. Gonna need some help. Gonna need some other people to beat Florida, but hanging in there.
So that's where we're gonna start today, because we've talked about this a little bit, Joe. Like the athletic program for Vanderbilt right now, it's going really well. You got the women's basketball team that's playing great. You got Vanderbilt men that's 20-4. Obviously, we know what just happened during football, and you got baseball coming up with Tim Corbin, and we know what that program has been. Now, I know that Candace Lee didn't hire Tim Corbin, obviously, but you look at the rest of the athletic department right now, it's pretty darn good, man. And I just wonder, the question I was having as I was watching some of this last night was, like, is Candace Lee getting the credit that she deserves? And I guess you could extend that both locally and nationally as well. And I think, the football part of this is probably the biggest thing, because it's not like Vanderbilt, both on the men and women's side, haven't had success before in basketball. Now, maybe this year is going to be to an extreme level, but they've been good, successful basketball programs. The football part of this, I think, obviously, is what's taken it to a different level. But I'll just kind of turn it to you to start this thing. Like, when you look at the job that Candace Lee has done here, do you think that she's getting the credit that she deserves for just how well it's going right now for Vanderbilt athletics, to the point where I think if you would have told people this, 3 years ago, 5 years ago, they would have told you it was virtually impossible what's happening with Vanderbilt athletics right now?
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, well, it's a great question. I will say that when I will say that the print edition of the Saturday, what would have been the Saturday before last? Saturday, you know, January, whatever. New York Times had an entire page about Candace, with a huge picture of her about her hiring, and what she's done with the Vanderbilt athletic program. I forgot it was a brilliantly written story. I forgot who wrote that story, but
yes.
So you know, thank you for anytime you can help me promote myself, I really appreciate it. But no,
Joe writes for the Athletic.
There we go, baby. No, I mean, I had the same thought not long ago. Like these hires, like you said, Corbin is Corbin, and he's been the centerpiece of that athletic department for more than 20 years. But I went through all the ADs and all the ADs who have hired football, basketball, and men's, women's basketball. And no, I mean, I think she has the best three hires in the country going right now. And it's more than that, of course. It's also it's money. I mean, Daniel Diermeier, you always have to include the chancellor in this with Vanderbilt, right? I mean, you have to because that's been a big – I mean, previous athletic directors have also wanted to do things. Previous athletic directors, David Williams, but people who preceded him have wanted to, like, have more money and raise money and have things that give them a chance to be competitive in the SEC, and the administration has straight up blocked them. I mean, it just has not allowed it, basically. And Daniel Diermeier – to his credit, who's been at Northwestern and seen what football can do for a really good private university, is all in. So that's a big part of it. But she still, has to raise a lot of, raise the money and get the donors mobilized and support her coaches and, again, make these hires. And, that's – like Clark Lee may have been a bit of a no-brainer, as an alum – as a guy who was a hot assistant at the time. He was, the D coordinator at Notre Dame. But you still, it's not like you had to hire him. It wasn't mandatory. A lot of people wanted her to hire Jamie Chadwell from Coastal Carolina. So obviously that's gone really well. But I think the basketball hires, you're talking about someone who had never been a head coach and then someone who, was a good mid-major head coach. But she and they're different, different kinds of coaches, different kinds of people. But she obviously has an eye for that. And really, as challenging as college athletics is now, I mean, the economic aspects of it are such a big part of the job. But it's still like, what is as an AD, what gets you an extension, or what gets you fired? I mean, it's your choices of coaches, right?
Yeah, for sure. And the Clark Lee part of this, Joe, is obviously where I think the attention on this begins, because we talked about this on the show. After his third year, I didn't know where this is going to go, man. Like, he had the breakthrough second year where they went from 2-10 to 5-7, but he got the two SEC wins against Kentucky and Florida at the end of that year. And you felt like maybe there was some progress there that was going on. And then you follow it up in 2023 with a 2-10 season. And it was just like, man, that's not good. Like, I don't know where that's going to end up. And we know what happened after that. He looked at the program. He went out, and obviously that's when Pavia came in, and there was all these people coming in from New Mexico State and Jerry Kill and Tim Beck and all these guys. So it changed then, and he was, to his credit, Clark Lee was willing to make that change, and we've seen what's happened since then. They're 7-6 and 24 with the Birmingham Bowl win at the end, and then 10-3 last year. So with the 10-2 regular season. So Clark Lee and his willingness to change and adapt and come up with some different ideas is a big part of all this as to why the football program has turned around. Because, Joe, after that 2023 season, I remember having conversations on the show about, like, so is Clark Lee going to get fired in 2024? Like, that's exactly what we were talking about. And it's kind of hilarious to think about that now, given how it's gone since then.
Yeah, and that's also a great time period to point out when you're talking about Candace Lee, because also at that time period, it was like, he has talked about this, I think multiple times, but it's like, there are ADs who in that moment would have been, not like threatening or anything, but sort of like, what's going on? You know, her reaction was, okay, what can we do to help you here? And they got a huge infusion of money. And it was basically like, you know, the conversation, and I think a lot of coaches probably had these conversations around that time or maybe a little bit before with ADs, which is like, look, if we don't have more money to bring in players, like, I don't know what to tell you. And Vanderbilt went and got it, you know? So you're right, of course, like Clark – looking at New Mexico State and taking a lot of what they did and bringing in all that was on him and his decision making. But there's still to go with that, including Stowers and a lot of other players that they got to come in and make them competitive. That only happens if she says, okay, what do you need? All right, let's go get it, you know. And they went and got it again. That's just very. It's just not the history of Vanderbilt, you know. But right. But it's also like, I mean, it's a recognition by her and by the chancellor that it's like either you do that or like you're just what like you have no chance. Like, what's the point? So to their credit, they did it.
615-737-1025, our phone number. That's where we're starting today. Vanderbilt Athletics rolling right now. Is Candace Lee getting the credit she deserves? And how sustainable is this for Vanderbilt? We'll take your thoughts on all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Coming to this place, any victory is a huge win. Guys made big plays, made big free throws. Just talk about the victory, first of all, and what it took to get this game to the finish line.
Yeah, what a response. To come back from not playing well a couple of days ago and only a few days after and to kind of show, you know, the type of team we are. We battled adversity in so many different ways. And you talk about this environment and they're a really good team, especially in this building. And so I just thought our guys just had their mind made up that they're not leaving here without a win. And we looked like that on Sunday, and we looked like that on Monday, and carried it over today. And we just had an intensity about us, and we knew we had to play really well.
That's Mark Byington after the win last night for Vanderbilt against Auburn. Taking your thoughts on Vanderbilt Athletics, which is rolling at the moment. Is Candace Lee getting the credit that she deserves for the job she's done as Vanderbilt Athletics Director? Taking your thoughts on that. Now, though we'll see what happens here on the basketball front. I mean, Vanderbilt men's team obviously has a very good team. So does the women's team. Baseball season's right around the corner. And then I think what a lot of people are kind of looking to see in this conversation too is, you know, after Diego Pavia, right, what does it look like for Vanderbilt football? Now, we know, I mean, Jared Curtis, biggest recruit in the history of the program, so that's great. That's a good start to the post-Diego Pavia part of this for Clark Lee and Vanderbilt football. But, you know, the football part of this that's driven the bus for all these SEC programs, you look at Vanderbilt the last couple of years – and it's been a whole lot of fun to watch. I think a lot of people are waiting, Joe, and saying, all right, Pavia is out, so what's this going to look like moving forward with Clark Lee, with Jared Curtis coming in, and I guess for lack of a better phrase, like how sustainable is this going to be for the football part of this with Pavia not there anymore?
Oh, absolutely. This is going to be one of those, okay, let's, you know, without this great player, you see it with other coaches at times, you know, what are you going to do, you know? And it's definitely going to be really interesting. I mean, it's a huge deal to get Jared Curtis. It's also in the SEC with a true freshman because I'm assuming he's going to start. I'd be surprised if there's really much mystery there. But, yeah, true freshman, talented. Five-star, Georgia wanted him, but Georgia was probably not going to play him this year, and Vanderbilt right. probably will. And so, like, first of all, just in the very first year after, you have to figure there's going to be some adversity, right? Some more losses and things like that. So, and then that'll get louder, you know. But the bottom line is, are you recruiting seems to be going well. I mean, the portal, like, they're not setting the world on fire, but they hadn't before either. And you could see beyond Pavia, hey, look, like, they're competitive up front. Like, they have a really good offensive line. Look, their defensive front is stout, and like, they look like an SEC D line. Like, there's a lot of things that they've done to make it better. So can they keep sustaining that? So absolutely, the post Pavia era will be And people expect a fall off. I do too. I mean, I expect a fall off next year for sure. But are we talking about we're going to look back in 5 years and say, well, so basically they just had the Pavia bump and, you know, then it was business as usual? Or are they going to ultimately build on that and have some more cracks at, you know, getting into the playoff? I mean, that's when you get a Curtis, you do expect before his career's over for that to happen.
Have you seen that? So George points this out on YouTube, and I guess I wasn't aware of this until he said it. You know, Texas and Vanderbilt on the women's front are playing tomorrow. It's number 14 versus number 5 team. And it's on SEC Network Plus.
Yeah.
I mean, you can find it, but like the fact that that's not more prominently featured is kind of amazing.
Yeah, it's funny because Jake Lyman and I were actually just talking about that the other day because it's such a huge week. I mean, they crushed Oklahoma the other night with Michaela Blakes and Aubrey Galvin. There is no way there's a more fun backcourt to watch. And Michaela Blakes should have a real chance at National Player of the Year. But we talked about it. This is a schedule that gets set before the season. So obviously they didn't know there's going to be 4 against 5, you know. I mean, the network designations happen before the season starts. But this would have been a good time to maybe pivot on that for sure. And also,
we can't have any adaptability.
Yeah, yeah.
Like none?
No, I agree. And it's also like, even if you're looking at this going into the year, you knew Vanderbilt was going to be pretty good. You knew Texas was going to be great. And that's what I said to Jake. It's like, the fact that this game is at Vanderbilt, too. Like, if it was at Texas, if you think Texas is going to be way better than Vanderbilt, it's like, okay, that might not be a competitive game. But the game at Vanderbilt, you'd think from a TV perspective, you're like, okay, that actually could be a good game. So, yeah, it's stupid. It's too bad.
Well, look.
Listen to Jake Lyman.
You're talking about – listen to Jake Lyman for sure. You're talking about a top five matchup coming up tomorrow between Texas and Vanderbilt. And, you know, people are – starting to talk about Shea Ralph, Joe, in terms of, like, what's this going to look like moving forward? Because, obviously, she's doing a great job at Vanderbilt. And I think in the back of some people's mind, it's like, all right, is one day, whenever Geno decides that he's done, I guess, at UConn, is that going to be the call that they make to Shea Ralph to go back home to UConn, obviously? So, first off, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen there. I mean, look. Geno may stay there another 10 years and win like another 7 national championships. I guess we'll see on that front. But other than that, like beyond that job, like that's the other part of this from Candace Lee is, well, your football coach just had a season where I promise you that there was some interest in him, but you were able to lock him down. Now, I know Clark Lee's a, you know, special circumstance and you're talking about a guy that played there. So maybe it's a little bit different, but like the Shea Ralph part of this, if it keeps going this way, same thing with Mark Byington, like there's going to be interest in them from other programs around the country. And how do you handle that if you're Candace Lee moving forward?
Yeah. Well, and I'll tell you, it's, you know, there's already been some rumblings about North Carolina possibly looking at Mark Byington. Again, this is just if Hubert Davis, you know, obviously it's a huge win for him against Duke, although then they come out last night and lose at Miami. But, you know, if Hubert Davis gets bounced, who are the top candidates? And, you know, I do think Carolina is one of those places where they're to the point where it's like, you know what, you don't always have to have a Carolina guy. You know, you can look around and go outside that family. So, yeah, like when – I don't think that there's many jobs that could get him out of here, but I mean Carolina. I mean, you know, like that's one of those things that, like, if Vanderbilt like is a Sweet 16 team or beyond this year, then that his profile gets raised a lot more. And then and Shea Ralph, the way things are going, like you said, I have no idea like when Geno Auriemma is going to hang it up, but I mean, it would seem to be like the most obvious first person to be mentioned, right?
You would think.
And then it just comes down to it. Like I could definitely make a strong case for her, even though she won a title there as a player, at least one, probably more than one, but she won a title for sure as a player, is from that or lived in that area a long time. This is actually from North Carolina. Well, but I could still make the case like this is your program. Like, you know, rather than following the legend, which is just impossible to do, as people at Tennessee have found here over the past, now we're moving into a second full decade of that, as opposed to your own thing that you've built, you know, in Nashville. I mean, if it ever gets to that point, I bet you it'll be a really interesting situation. I wouldn't be surprised at all if she got offered. I think her decision would be fascinating because I think it probably would be real close.
Well, like you said, I mean, the following the legend part of it is interesting. Like how often does that work out well for you, right? And look, yeah, I don't know, like if you're Shea Ralph, if you're any of these people that have accomplished enough where you're being offered jobs like that, I guess you don't really think that way. Like you think that you're going to come in and you're just going to do your thing and it's going to work out well. And it's not like, I mean, obviously UConn women's basketball has the resources to do whatever they want to do. So there is that, but like, doesn't it have to enter the back of your mind at some point of like, yeah, you know, it's going to be hard for me to match the person who did this job previously. And do you really want to deal with that? I don't know. Like some people do. If I was following Pat Summitt, there's plenty about the Tennessee job that would probably be alluring enough to me where I wouldn't be all that worried about following Pat Summitt or following Gino Auriemma in UConn. But I do think it's something you at least got to think about if you're one of these people.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, like Carolina. Now, Bill Guthridge actually technically followed Dean Smith, but, you know, they went and got Roy Williams. And, I mean, you know, it's Carolina. He made it work. It was pretty freaking good. I'm looking at John Shire right now. He doesn't seem to be struggling following Coach K. You know, I mean, you got to win a national championship and all that and prove it. And they should have won it last year, but he seems to be. So it's like if you have that much of a Ferrari to hand off to someone, then, you know, it might be just fine. But like you said, that was what Tennessee was. Although, you know, the last few years under Pat, it'd gone down a little bit. But still, I mean, at that point, there were two programs that mattered in the sport, and that was one of them. And we see what has happened since then. So, no, it's hard. Jason Gillisville says Shea Ralph has a top 10 and a top 25 recruit coming next year. Now, if there's a program to buy stock in, it would be that one just in terms of, like, I think they have a chance to be, like, especially, I mean, are they going to have two more years of Michaela Blake's?
Well, that's the question.
I mean, if I'm her, I don't know the NIL situation, but if I'm Vanderbilt, I'm like, yeah, we can pay you more than WNBA.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. Exactly.
4 years of that, and you're bringing in this kind of talent and this freshman, Aubrey Galvin. Like, we're talking about a chance to win a national championship, and that's different than the other two programs. I think, you know, really good, really impressive, but like, this could be a national championship program.
So we've talked about one athletic director, Joe, that's doing an outstanding job, and I think the fan base is over the moon with the job that she's doing. There's another athletic director in our state that seems to be in the crosshairs of their fan base. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game, broadcasting live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. We are taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, we've talked about Candace Lee and the job she's done, and I think her approval rating with the fan base right now is probably about 100%, which is hard to do as an athletic director, but she's doing a great job. You know, Danny White over at Tennessee, I mean, you could make the argument he's doing a pretty good job, but the fan base got him in the crosshairs right now, and the Kim Caldwell stuff this week has not helped that. Now, we talked about this a little bit earlier in the week. You know, Tennessee got absolutely blasted at South Carolina earlier this week, and Kim Caldwell got on the podium after the game and started talking about basically how her team quit and how that's what a characteristic of what her team has been this year, to which a lot of Tennessee fans have said, well, great, you're the coach and you pick the players. So what does that mean moving forward here too? And now, Joe, this narrative that we talked about when Tony Vitello left Tennessee and took the San Francisco Giants job, there are a lot of Vols fans are like, well, they keep giving all this money to the Lady Vols and basketball and should have been giving it all to baseball this whole time, and that's why Vitello left, which continues. We talked about this at the time, but people keep acting like Vitello left the Tennessee job to go to, like, Murray State or something.
Seriously.
He's the manager of the San Francisco Giants in Major League Baseball, so I feel like that's a pretty important factor in this discussion. But anyway, that's a long way of me saying – people are mad at Danny White about that, and that's coming back up this week as well again too. So what do you make of the Vol fan anger being thrown towards Danny White this week?
Yeah, like this whole thing, I was actually like, this is a great rant. And then I was like, well, but Kaharsky's coming in and who knows what kind of crap he'll be spewing. He'll probably mess it up. So this is, and I think this is where, like, there's a lot to hear that I need to understand. Like, first of all, I need to know, and you may be able to tell me this, where was there any actual source, anybody who covers Tennessee who suggested this idea of, like, you know, the money, too much money going to the women's basketball program, which had pissed off Tony Vitello? Did that come from anywhere but just the ether of Vol Twitter?
I don't know that I have seen that, like, actually reported by anyone. I've seen that floating around social media all over the place. I don't know that I've seen it actually reported by anyone.
Yeah, like, I check, you know, I'll check the message boards and stuff like that. And, again, sometimes there's posters on message boards who, you know, claim to have inside information. Some posters do, you know, but I haven't seen anyone who covers Tennessee say that. I've actually seen people who cover Tennessee refute that. I mean, I saw Wes the other day was again brought it up, but this is actually brought to my mind. He brought it up again. It's like, God, are people on this thing again? This whole, you know, the money thing. Then I saw that Withrow and Hutton interviewed Vitello out there and asked him directly the question for their show, and he refuted it and was like, Danny White's great. So I just, it's like people so badly like need this to be the situation. And then we have this thing, Robbie, and this is really like the center of the would-be rant, was this. Have you seen the video that's just absolutely going nuts with Vol Twitter?
I don't think so.
The team huddle?
No.
Okay. It's just, and again, even like our buddy Big Orange Max out there retweeting it, and it's like, oh. So it's during the game, you know, the last game where they get smoked, and it's the team sitting there and kind of like just, you know, not really talking, but they're sitting there and it's like the whole huddle, or not the whole huddle, but it's like the huddle before Kim Caldwell, and it's like 30 seconds or whatever. And then so people are basically using it to, like, I guess basically vilify her for not being in the huddle. Well, guess what? I don't necessarily like this, but it's a very common thing. She is one of those coaches, many coaches, Shea Ralph is too, who the huddle starts, then the coach and the assistants talk to each other. What are we going to do? What are we going to talk about? What are we going to draw up? Whatever. Then the head coach sits down with the players and talks. Again, I don't love that. Like, I probably couldn't do that. I'd probably be right with my players talking, but it is a very normal thing that happens. People are using this video of this very normal thing that she does every time to be like, look at Kim Caldwell, blah, blah. I mean, I don't even know. Like, she doesn't, I don't know, she's not coaching the team anymore, whatever. It's just like, it is, the venom directed at her is a little bit startling to me at this point. And it's like, so I know people were mad about Kelly Harper getting fired.
Yeah.
To a point, but I mean, I think that there was enough time to kind of see it wasn't going where you want this to go. Now, I'm not sitting here saying Kim Caldwell is going to take it there. It's a little bit of a outside the box hire, right?
Yeah.
And so it's one of those things where Danny White kind of put himself out there, and you're like, man, that guy is good at identifying talent. We'll see. That was actually a pretty impressive first year for her. It's kind of falling on hard times right now. But again, hard times, and we're talking about a team that is, you know, whatever. They're in the top five in the SEC. What are they projected right now in the tournament? Like a 3 seed? I mean, again,
right?
No, okay.
They're coming off a 43-point loss. That's where this is coming from.
Yeah, and that's yes. And the thing is, the reality is that South Carolina is what Tennessee used to be in this sport. That's what it is. It is a juggernaut, and it's going to be exactly that. As long as Dawn Staley wants to be there, they're going to be just way better than every, like, she gets whoever she wants, just like Geno does. And it's a, you know, I mean, and there's other programs like UCLA is really good this year, but I mean, it's just what it is. This is what has happened. Now, if you're Tennessee, yeah, you can't lose that game by 40. You got to be better than that. I totally get it. So it just seems like people are taking this to, to turn it into like a complete, like her career is a failure. And then again, the Danny White thing, man, people are mad at Danny White.
Well, people don't like Danny White. Okay.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. Like Tennessee fans do not like Danny White. And I think a lot of it is a lot of it, frankly, is like the talent fee stuff and, you know, him getting back and forth with Vol fans on Twitter sometimes. And
he's earned some of that. He's earned some of that.
Like, you know, there are some – every now and then he'll tweet something around like, buddy, it's probably okay. Just put the phone down and just move on and not worry about stuff like that.
Yep.
I mean, the thing is, like, with what his job is, I kind of think he's doing a good job, right? Like, he's raising a lot of money. And look, you know, this is going to largely be determined by, like, this is a big year for Tennessee athletics from the standpoint of, like, football better be pretty good this year, right? I mean, like, we've talked about that from Heupel, but that's who Danny White brought in.
It's his hire.
It's his hire. You know, Vitello, by the way, wasn't his hire. And, you know, I think he made the right choice with, you know, having Elander take it over and go. And I think Tennessee baseball is still, by the way, is going to be pretty good.
They're going to be a wagon this
year. Championship again? I don't know, but I think they're going to be pretty darn good. So, like, I think you're feeling okay about that. You know, the Kim Caldwell part of this is going to be interesting, but that's a long way of me saying, Joe, like, I largely think Danny White has done a pretty good job, but Tennessee fans do not like him.
Yep. And yeah, he definitely has bought some of that for sure. And there are times where it's like, yeah, this is not, I wouldn't do that. I'm like, dude, I'm afraid to go at Vol Twitter. You're the AD of Tennessee. Don't go at Vol Twitter. What are you doing?
Yeah.
But
I think he kind of likes it a little bit.
Yeah, maybe, you know. But no, we're talking about Candace Lee and the credit. By the way, last summer, the NACDA, which is like the AD, you know, the organization, they were both finalists for AD of the year. He won it. They were like both in New York last summer, and he won it. I mean, this year I think, boy, she's got to be on a short list. But, you know, just as we talk about her and her hires and how great they were, Josh Heupel, not a very popular hire, has, well, you know, done a great job and has exceeded that. But, like, okay, we're looking, like, can you get to the next level?
Right.
We're looking at the Kim Caldwell thing, which, again, I think people mad about the firing. It was a year earlier than you maybe expected, but I don't think that's all necessarily a bad thing for ADs. I think ADs wait too long sometimes. And, you know, what if Rick Barnes hangs it up here soon, which would not be shocking. Like,
right.
Now he's got to make that hire, and that's a huge one. I mean, Rick Barnes has turned that into a relevant program in its sport, and it was not that at all when he took it over. So, the coaching hires, which is part of his rise as an AD, is identifying people like Nate Oates, for example. And it's beyond all the other stuff, the external stuff and all that. And like you said, really, like, look at what he's done in terms of raising money and building things. Yeah. Now, people are mad about the mixed use thing too, and I kind of get that. So, but like, when it comes down to it, the outcomes of these coaching hires are really going to tell a lot of the story.
Well, you could be mad at all those things we've talked about. And look, Kim Caldwell, eventually she's going to have to, like, it's not going well for her right now. She's going to have to turn this thing around, or, you know, it won't be too long from now where she won't be there anymore. And so I understand all that. But there's one part of this that we just need to drop. Like, the funniest part of this to me is, like, how people thought Tony Vitello left the Tennessee job to go coach at Hendersonville High School up here or something. And it's like, guys, he's the manager of the San Francisco Giants. Can we acknowledge this?
Yeah, no doubt. Well, Ethan from Lawrenceburg says, you know, there was an Arkansas baseball coach who said Tony V wasn't happy with how some stuff was going. I just responded to him. I said, dude, no coaches are happy right now. All of them don't have enough money, want more money. Like, so I guarantee you, I don't doubt that Tony Vitello is like, I need more of the, I need this, I need that. And it's like, I can't give you everything. But they're all like that. And some of them are underfunded, and some of them are funded just fine, like his program was. But, like, it's still a total – it's an absolute fight within these athletic departments among coaches for resources against each other. That's what it is right now.
Sure. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. More of your thoughts to get to on the Danny White part of this. We'll do that next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Register today for Stars Trivia Night at Boomba's in East Nashville on Thursday, February the 19th. It'll be a night full of fun, food, and prizes, all while supporting Stars Nashville, a nonprofit providing free mental health support for students in over 200 schools across Middle Tennessee. For more details on how to register, you can visit thegamenashville.com/events. Taking your thoughts on Tennessee, on Danny White, on Kim Caldwell, all those things, 615-737-1025. Is our phone number. So, Joe, you brought up Kim Caldwell. You know, obviously, you know, just lost by 43 to South Carolina over the weekend. As you mentioned, South Carolina is obviously very established, an absolute wagon in women's basketball. But where do you think this is going right now for Kim Caldwell? How do you turn it around? What did you make of her basically getting in the postgame press conference and going up there and saying, yeah, my team quit? Like, there have been some Tennessee fans that I've seen that kind of like that. There have been some Tennessee fans that say, well, what does that mean? Like, don't get up there and say that. Those are your players that you picked, which is kind of essentially what Dawn Staley said of, yeah, I don't know that I would have said it that way.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's fair. As long, to me, though, it's like as long as – and I can't sit here and say that – I mean, I didn't hear every word of that, like the whole presser. At some point, you have to make sure you're pointing the finger at yourself. And so as long as she did that, I mean, I don't have a problem with that, with being honest and calling it out. Because, I mean, look, it's demoralizing. Like, South Carolina is so much better than them. And South Carolina makes good teams quit. You know, it's not okay if you're on the other side of it, but it's the reality of the situation. So, I don't have a problem with that. You know, as far as the program, again, it's early, and obviously in the middle of all this, you know, she had a baby, and there's a lot of stuff going on and things like that. I mean, it's just so early. But, again, it's just also weird because that's how we always talk about programs, and we talk about, you know, coaches and early in programs, and it's like you got to let that build up and things. And now in college sports, you just have Indiana turn into a national championship team in 2 years, you know, out of nothing, you know? So it's like, it is like, well, why didn't you have an instant answer like in the portal and stuff like that, you know? But there are coaches who want as much as possible to have their own recruits who grow, who they retain, and they build it that way. And they, you know, fill in with the portal. I mean, there's different philosophies, but the bottom line is it is still year two, and it's still a good team. She's had two good teams. You want it to be great at Tennessee. Does her style of play, is it limiting? I mean, the thing is that, you know, remember, you know, shocked UConn last year, you know?
Yeah.
I do think that, like, the top teams, I worry a little bit about, you know, this style of play against the very, very best. You know, and I'm not saying, you know, like there's just no chance. Now they can change up, and she does. They change up and they scale it back at times. But I do worry when you play the top teams with the absolute best guards in the country, and you're trying to pressure like this and things like that, does it end up hurting you more than it helps you? I mean, that, you know, I guess we'll see with that. But you also, as a coach, you can adjust things, you know, you're allowed to change your style and adjust your style to the level you're at. So, I mean, again, it's early. I don't have a problem with the last thing, like her saying that, but you're certainly interested to see now how this team responds. You know, does that end up hurting her with her players, or does she actually reach them and they bounce back from this? I mean, this is a really critical time for just her ability to get a team to face adversity and get through it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that part of it plays out. Back on the Danny White thing really quickly as we kind of wrap this up. You know, he right now to me, Joe, kind of feels like a perfect example of there is a, and I don't know what the percentage is, but it's, you know, it's loud on social media. What does that actually mean? There's at least a significant percentage of Tennessee fans that really don't like him, as I said. And it's kind of the perfect example to me of, you know, how your fan base or at least part of your fan base can feel one way. I would imagine the administration really likes him because he's making a lot of money for Tennessee. And I know Tennessee fans don't want to hear that. And, you know, some of that money has come at your expense of paying the prices you're paying to get into Neyland Stadium. So I understand that. And that's where a lot of these things come from. But the bottom line is, like, when you go look at how much growth they've had in their revenue in the athletic department, like, that's kind of what he was really good at before he got here. And he has certainly done that at Tennessee.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of fans don't want to hear that, but he's doing a pretty good job that way.
Yeah. He's modernized things. And in some cases, Tennessee was behind on a few things. And look, some of it really is like, it's a matter of squeezing every bit out of fans, and in particular, fans with a lot of money who are willing to pay that money to have the best seats and all that stuff. And you know, he's done a lot. TBA was a lot of what he did. But in any other aspect of raising money, he has been extremely successful. And it's a big deal. I mean, you have to do that stuff. You know, the mixed-use thing, that's interesting. I think that was kind of celebrated at the beginning. Yep. I'm curious to see how that all – I don't really think the stadium and that setting on the water and all that really needs to be messed with. Like, I get Tennessee fans that are like, you know, like, I don't want this to change. Like, this has been the same for like decades and decades, but that's all, you know, that's also, that is a, you know, kind of partnership and everything, but it's a moneymaker too. So, you know, you're thinking of different ways to make it an experience that the people with the most money are going to pay for.
Yep. Well, and to that point, you know, I mentioned the money. You know, this is from a piece that Adam Sparks wrote just a few weeks ago. Tennessee Athletics had $304 million in revenue in the 2024-25 fiscal year, which was up $70 million more than the previous year. So, if you're wondering how Tennessee administration feels about Danny White, that's how. The $304 million, that's how they feel about
it. Yeah, and look, funny, I was talking to a Tennessee fan yesterday talking about, you know, the future with football, and it's like, are we ever going to be able to, you know, like, spend with the Georgias, Alabamas, Ohio State, you know, and things like that. And it's like, yeah, actually. I mean, like, the money is, like, Tennessee, Danny White has gotten Tennessee back to their, like, upper crust financially. And really, yeah, that hasn't been the case. I mean, it dipped. And, you know, football is probably the biggest reason it dipped. But also, I think not staying on the cutting edge of all the different ways of bringing in revenue as an AD. So,
yep,
he has gotten them to, like, where it's like you can't really look at Tennessee and say, well, they just don't have the money of whatever program you want to fill in. I mean, it's you know, if you want to take it to football, it's coaching, it's choices, it's evaluation, it's development. That's – you know, you got the money. And again, the answer to anyone, of course, and I brought this up yesterday too, is like, well, we did just see Indiana win the whole damn thing, right?
It's true.
So and Indiana, yes, they did a lot in the portal, but they didn't do a lot in the portal like outspending people. So
no,
there, I think the financial concerns, everybody has them, but Tennessee has, they're on the level of the least amount of them. You know, they're on that level. They're on that tier now.
Coming up next, a couple of quarterback options that could be out there that may highlight what this quarterback market is going to look like this offseason. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more.
That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.